It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Luke, chapter 11, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Here we see the disciples were asking Jesus Christ to teach them to how to pray. And the verse 1, it says, they saw Jesus Christ praying. Disciples said, the John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Could you please teach us how to pray? Luke said they saw Jesus praying. And then they said, could you teach us how to pray? This prayer also is given in book of Matthew chapter 6. And verse 13, Luke missed it here.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This prayer is like a model prayer. But many people take this prayer like a everyday prayer. Some of the people learn this prayer in Sunday school. And if you go to their house and say, could you please pray? They don't know how to pray. They will just do this Lord's Prayer. And they think that's okay. Here the Lord was teaching them, when you're praying, you're praying to the Father. Up to now, nobody taught them who the Father was. Jesus Christ is the only one told them that I came from the Father and I do everything what the Father says. So he is trying to say now, you know who God is. God is our Father. He says our God lives in heaven. And the Word of God says in St. John chapter 4 verse 24, our God is spirit. So God lives in heaven, but he watches over us. He says, everything what we do, God sees us. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. So he says, when you start praying to the Father who is in heaven. Our heavenly Father is a holy God. And so you pray to him, and when you're praying, pray to God that your kingdom should come on earth. When you read in book of Revelation, the Word of God says, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. We are not talking about this earth will be there forever. Our God is in heaven. We call him Father, and we have to go to heaven. And then verse 3 says, give us day by day, our daily bread. The children of Israel, when they were traveling and they didn't have the food, they complained to Moses and God gave them the daily manna, only for one day at a time. And they gather for the next day and it starts stinking and it was spoiled. So God says only take one day at a time. Only they were allowed to take extra day on Friday. So Saturday they don't have to go. So what God was teaching them, depend on God every day. When you live for God, God will extend your life. Why we are living in this world? We are living for Jesus Christ. If you are not living for Christ, your life will be miserable. Your life will have lots of problems. Somebody says, if you are a Christian, you don't have problem. You have problem, but God is with you. He gives you grace to have victory over those problems. But if you don't have Jesus, your life is miserable, and that's why people kill themselves. So here the word of God is saying, Lord, give my daily bread. I'm not asking too much. I'm just asking day by day. Because tomorrow, we don't know what holds. So what God has given to us today, be thankful. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 4. We read it, but we are going to go over it.
And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Forgive us our sins. Now, when you're asking God to forgive your sins, the same time it says, as we have forgiven every one of them. Then when you forgive others, then God forgives you. The forgiveness also Jesus taught us. When his disciple says, how many times I should forgive my brother? He says, 7 times 7? He said, no, 70 times 7. And so Jesus Christ taught us how to forgive our friends, our neighbors, our enemy, and everyone. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32.
And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That means God forgives us because of Christ. If you don't have Christ, there is no forgiveness. But if you are born again, child of God, then your prayer will be answered. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them. And so God heard his prayer. That's why God is forgiving us, because of Christ. So he said, behalf of Christ, God will forgive your sins. So when you come to God, and if you say, God, give me this, God, give me this, God, do that, just like a heathen they do. And they say, God, thank you, amen. When you pray, you start praying, O Heavenly Father, just like Jesus taught us. And when you pray to the Father, you finish your prayer in the name of Jesus. If you don't pray your prayer in the name of Jesus, your prayer will not be answered. The Word of God says when you pray in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, your prayer will not be answered. Here the Word of God is saying, when you pray to the Father, and God will answer your prayer behalf of Christ. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 56 to 60. Here we see the man of God, Stephen. They were stoning him to death. He's not looking at anybody. He's looking at heaven. Forgive their sins. Where did he learn it? He learned from Christ. Go ahead.
And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
This is a man of God. People were trying to kill him. He is not looking at their stones. He's not looking at their faces. He's looking at God. His eyes were open to heaven and he says, Hey, I see Jesus Christ, Son of Man, standing at the right hand of Father. Can you imagine this man is on earth, he's looking at heaven, and the heaven opened for him, and he could see Father and Son. And he's saying, I see Father and Son. And Jesus Christ, supposed to be sitting at the right hand of God, he's standing. He is concerned about Stephen. And the Stephen says, Lord, forgive these people. He learned from Christ. So we have to learn that Jesus Christ has taught us how to forgive the people. Go to the Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. He says, if you don't forgive, your Father is not going to forgive you.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
You need a forgiveness, you forgive others. Then God will forgive you. You pray to the Father, and you praying in the name of Jesus. Then God will forgive us. God will give us grace. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Still in the same subject of prayer. Go ahead.
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
Now what Jesus Christ is teaching here, when you're praying, don't give up a prayer because it didn't answer right away. He is saying, if there is a man, and in the middle of the night, he got a friend, a guest, and he didn't have the food. So he goes and knocks at the door. He says, sir, could you give me a bread? He says, don't bother me. I already locked the door. My children are sleeping. Don't bug me. So this man didn't say, okay, he doesn't want to give. I'll walk away. He kept on knocking. He kept on saying, until this man gets up and gives the bread. So he is trying to say, if you want answer from God, don't just pray one time and say, maybe God doesn't want to heal. Maybe God doesn't want to answer me. I'm not going to bug God anymore. And that's why some other religious people or other denomination people, they say, we know how to pray to God. We do ourselves. Help yourself, then God will help you. You cannot help yourself when you are sick and lying and you cannot lift up a small paper of tissue. How are you going to help yourself? You just call upon God. God is the one who answers prayer. Maybe God doesn't want to say yes. And they give the example of Jesus. They say Jesus asked 3 times, God, let this cup away. And he prayed 3 times. And God did not answer his prayer. And he has to drink that cup. But they forget. Jesus Christ was not saying, take this cup away. I don't want to go to cross. I don't want to die. What Jesus Christ was praying, the devil was killing him in a Gethsemane. Because he was sweating a blood. And if anybody sweats the blood, that person is going to die. The angel came to minister to him, to strengthen him, because he was dying. And that's the time he said, I don't want to die. I am afraid to die in this Gethsemane. And the word of God says, he prayed with a loud voice, with the tears, and God heard his prayer. Let's read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 7.
Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
It's very clear. When he was on earth, this prayer he prayed, he cried, with the strong crying, with the tears, and he was feared, and he was afraid to die. Where was this situation in his life? That is only I can see in Gethsemane. No other place he prayed this kind of prayer. And the word of God says God heard his prayer and delivered him, and he did not allow him to die on the Gethsemane. Jesus Christ was not saying, I don't want to die on the cross. He wanted to die on the cross. And that's the reason he came into this world. And so some people will teach you, God did not hear his son's prayer, so he will not listen to your prayer also. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. Only God says no when you don't pray according to his will. If you ask God, Lord, I have a friend, and that friend became my enemy, kill him. God will not answer that prayer, because it's not according to the will of God. And so the word of God is saying, when you pray, you keep on asking God until you get the answer. There is another example, but let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Here is another example he gave. There is a judge. That judge, he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about anybody.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
He gave an example about the judge. The judge says, I don't care about anybody. But this is widow. She has nobody to fight for her. He was thinking, what this widow is going to do? I'm not going to answer her. She kept on knocking at his door. She is wearing me out. She is troubling me. Just because she is wearing me out, I'm going to answer her. Our God never sleeps, never slumbers. So when you keep on asking God, he will answer prayers. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, starting from verse 11.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Now here he gave another example. Now if you read this in an original language, he says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Until when? Until you receive your answers. So here the word of God is saying, the worldly people, when the worldly children, they ask them something. They ask the bread. The worldly person doesn't give them a stone. If they ask a fish, they don't give them the serpent. If they ask the egg, they don't give them scorpion. So he said, though the evil people on this earth, they know how to do good. In Matthew, he says, good things. Luke, he says, God, Heavenly Father, will give you the Holy Spirit. Now somebody will say, Matthew says good things, and the Luke says Holy Spirit. What is good? One person came to Jesus Christ and said, good master. He says, only God is good. So when you're asking good things, and the Holy Spirit is God. So he says, when you ask God, he will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit doesn't come silently. We have to ask. Just like he gave an example, if you are hungry, you ask for bread. If you are hungry for the Spirit of God, you ask God, and He will give you the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says all good gifts comes from above. So God gives all good gifts. The devil gives all bad gifts. John chapter 10 verse 10, it says, enemy is a thief or the robber, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So see here, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So he says, ask me and I'll give it to you. But don't stop until you receive it. And that's what he's teaching us. And he says, when you ask, he will give it to you. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 11, and start reading from verse 14.
And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven.
Here we see the one demon-possessed man who was dumb, and Jesus healed that man. And the Word of God says some people wondered. Wow, we never saw this thing. Jesus Christ did a miracle. And some people start saying, he is doing by the Baal-Zabul or Beelzebul or Beelzebul. But what kind of Zabul he is all satanic. And they said he is the cheap devil. He gives power to people to cast out the devils. Now Jesus Christ said to them, are you in your right mind? Devil cannot cast out devil himself. If he start doing that, that means he's destroying his whole kingdom. It cannot happen like that. So let's read a little bit further.
But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub.
Here is a very good example for us. We fight in the house. He says, when you fight in the house, your house will be divided. Your house is divided, that house will fall. That means you need a unity in the house. The devil brings some kind of problem in your family. Here the Word of God says, the devil has a unity. You don't see in a devil like a disagreement. And so he says his kingdom is still standing. If the devil was divided, his kingdom will not stand. So his kingdom is standing. No one has power to destroy his kingdom. But Jesus Christ came, and he is the only one can destroy the works of the devil. So he says, you people are telling me, I am casting out the devils in Beelzebul's name. Then how your children casting out the devil? Please read.
And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges.
No one can cast the devils in devil's name. Why? Because his kingdom is not divided. He is strong and holding on to his kingdom. And the verse 20.
But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you.
I cast out the devils by the what? The finger of God. The devil is scared of finger. When you point the finger to devil in the name of Jesus, devil trembles. So that's why people don't like showing fingers. They say, don't show me finger, because they are scared. Here he says, I cast out the demon by the finger of God. God has given us power. They want to cast out devil or heal the sick. They tell somebody to stand behind it and just push that person. Person falls down. They pick them three times and push them on down. You don't have to do that. Jesus Christ never did it. He said, I cast the devils by the finger of God. We can tell person far away and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. They will be healed. You don't have to push them. You don't have to pull them. You don't have to take credit for yourself, because we don't have power to heal even fly. Only God does. We cannot take any credit for healing anybody. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils.
Now here, when this verse you read, is a little bit complicated. And many people will give you different kinds of meaning. He says there is a strong man, and he has a power, and he keeps everything strong by his power. But another stronger man comes and overpower him. Who are these two strong men? Strong man is a devil. He's a strong, he's an evil man. But the Jesus Christ is stronger than him. You remember, we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, is the greater one is what? Within you than what is in the world. So the greater one is the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are greater one than the enemy. Enemy is a strong man, but we have Christ in us, so we can destroy the strong man in the name of Jesus. Read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
And when did he destroy his work? Let's read the Colossians. Book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 15.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Spoiled the powers of principalities on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Please read.
Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Who is this? Jesus. Jesus has power to destroy the strong man. He did it on the cross, and he's going to do it again. When he did it on the cross, the devil's head is crushed on the cross. But he has still some power left. Now he doesn't have power over the Christians, but he has power over the unsaved people. That's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God of this world has blinded what? The minds of unbelievers. He cannot blind us. He cannot destroy us. Only he does to the unsaved people. Why? Because they should not see the glory of God, the power of God, the image of God, or the Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. When Jesus Christ comes, he's going to get hold of the Antichrist and false prophet.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.